Hi, and welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics, and in this podcast, we offer expert advice and practical strategies so you can experience more sexual pleasure. We use explicit language, and nothing is taboo. You can submit questions to be answered on future episodes by going to pleasuremechanics.com and hitting the Ask Us Anything button. You'll also find our complete archive of over 60 episodes and check out our complete suite of online courses designed to help you become a better lover and have the amazing sex life you deserve. As a listener of Speaking of Sex, use the code SPEAKINGOFSEX for 20% off any of our online courses. On this episode, we are going to be answering a question called in by a listener about male libido and the lack thereof.
And what to do about it.
And you can call in your own questions by calling 302-IN-TOUCH and leaving a voicemail message. Here is the question.
Hi guys, I'm a 23-year-old female in a relationship with a 22-year-old male. All of the literature and everything says that males at that age are supposed to be extremely horny and want sex all the time. My boyfriend is not that way. We rarely have sex. It makes me feel like something's wrong with me, and I'm not sure how to navigate that situation. I brought it up to him before, and it seems like there's excuse after excuse. It just, you know, it makes no sense, and I don't know if there's any explanations or anything you could offer. I guess to generalize my question more, what do you do when your male partner has no libido? I mean, we hear all the time about women who have no libido or desire for sex, but what happens when it's the opposite? When the female, being me, wants sex all the time and the male partner is reluctant to give it. Any advice or feedback would be great. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you so much for being in touch, and let's dive in.
This is one of the reasons we really dislike how culture perpetuates this myth that women are one way and men are this way. In this case, that women have lower libido and men always have raging libidos, especially as young 20-something men. And this just isn't the case for a lot of people, and we need to just do away with these stereotypes and just know that people are people, and some people have high libidos and some people have low libidos, and that we're all different
And that these things fluctuate throughout our lives and can change month to month, year to year. And right, these stereotypes, these gendered assumptions, put a lot of people in shame and silence. He might feel like he's not really a true man because of his low libido and have a lot of shame about that. Equally, women with high libidos sometimes feel shame about that because women aren't supposed to want sex so often. So we talk about these gendered myths a lot on this show, and it's because they are really, truly damaging for individuals and for us as a culture. And this is just one example of that. So let's start by setting aside everything you've heard in the literature, as you say, about the raging libido of young men. Not always true. And in your case, good for you, you do have a strong libido, and that's great. And what we're dealing with here is a mismatched libido within a relationship, which is hugely common.
Right, and it's also a fact that in every relationship, there will be one person that has more desire than the other person. It is so rare for people to have the same level of desire, so it's always going to be the case. And in your case, it is merely switched from the gendered stereotypes about libido.
And this idea of high desire partner and low desire partner is true in all facets of your relationship. Who likes to go out to eat more often? Who likes to read more than the other one? Who likes a cleaner bathroom? We're all unique individuals within our relationships, and it's clear in all these other areas that of course we're going to have different needs and appetites and interests from one another, but somehow when it comes to sex and sexual frequency, the idea of who wants it more becomes a very charged issue, and people start taking it really personally if they want sex more than their lover. And that's part of what I'm hearing in this listener's question, is she's taking it really personally that he doesn't want to have sex more often with her. And she's maybe translating this into a lack of being attractive enough, or that she's not sexy enough, or he's not that into her, when really it might just be a difference in appetite.
There can be a whole variety of reasons for why people have low libido, and we'll get into that in a moment. But what Chris is saying about problematizing a difference of libido is really important. It may not be an issue for him, it may just be what is. But if it is an issue for this woman and she wants to be having sex more, then she could choose to have a conversation with him about how she's missing that and she wants more. And does he want to try and work on it more? Or is that something that's just going to be the way it is always in their relationship? And does she need to find other ways of getting her needs met?
Well, let's talk about this idea of sex drive and libido for a moment. The idea that you are just spontaneously in the mood for sex is what's called spontaneous desire. The desire just happens to pop up within you, and you find yourself horny and in the mood and ready for sex. And there's another kind of desire called responsive desire. And responsive desire happens when someone initiates sex or starts putting the moves on you, and your body starts responding if you give it the chance. And traditionally, it's understood that men experience more spontaneous desire and women experience more responsive desire. But again, this is just a stereotype that's gendering these different types of desire that are actually really just human types of desire, and we all experience a mix of them. And so one of the questions to look at in your relationship is, and we'll use the caller as an example, is he in the mood for sex once it's already initiated? Can he get into it? Can he have responsive desire? Can he enjoy sex once it's already happening? And maybe he just doesn't initiate sex and she's waiting around for it to happen, when really he would be good with it once it already started. Or does he not experience responsive desire either? Does he not get into sex? Can he not get an erection? Does he not like to have sex once it's happening? So that's the first question to look at, is that mix between spontaneous and responsive desire, and who's initiating, and are you just waiting around for him to initiate when really she could be initiating more often?
This is such an important point, because sex isn't happening and there's so many ways that we can all be having more sex, and it does take initiating. And what would it look like for her to initiate more? And would that solve the problem? So it's really important to parse out these different elements of what makes sex happen or not happen.
Right. Sex doesn't just happen in the way you just trip over your loose shoelace. Sex requires the conditions within your relationship where you want to be having sex with one another. It requires you both to be primed as independent sexual beings and get in the mood for sex. It requires someone to initiate it. It requires taking the time and choosing to make the space for sex. And then it requires having sex that's worth having, sex that's pleasurable for both of you and free of anxiety and that feels fun. And that's a lot of ifs. That's a lot of conditions that need to be in place to have a fulfilling sex life. And so it is a complex matter.
It's so true. There's so many factors that go into having a rich and delightful sex life. And we talk about a lot of these issues and go deep into them in our new Foreplay course.
Foreplay Mastery, available at pleasuremechanics.com. It's just being released, probably as this podcast goes live, so take a look. And again, use Speaking of Sex as a code word for 20% off.
Because it's such an art and a skill to create sex in an ongoing, long-term relationship.
Yeah, we hear this from couples all the time. It's like, why aren't we having more sex? Why aren't we having better sex? And the question we always have to ask back is, what are you investing in your sex life? How are you making sex happen? And a lot of people don't know how to make sex happen. And so in our Foreplay Mastery course, we cover all of this, starting with having a strong relationship, how to flirt in a long-term relationship, how to seduce one another, how to initiate sex without the fear of rejection. And then once you're both in bed and willing, what to do to build more arousal? Because yeah, you're not going to have a good frequent sex life if the sex you're having isn't worth repeating.
So true. And every single couple will have a slightly different reason or a slightly different piece that they need to add in to create the kind of sex life that they want. We are all individual. We all have specific relationships. And so you have to kind of do some detective work in your own relationship to look at what would it take to increase the amount of sex you're having.
And increase the arousal during the sex you're having.
Totally.
So let's look at this idea of low male libido, because I think it's actually quite common, but it's one of these things that isn't discussed because we have this cultural narrative of, oh, men are hot and horny. All it takes is one touch to get them turned on and ready to go. And we simplify male sexuality to the point where men feel like if they're not hard and ready to have sex at any moment's notice, that there's something wrong with them. And so men develop a lot of shame and secrecy around issues of low libido or anxiety or erection issues. And this leads men to withdrawal sexually, which then makes the problem even worse. And so, first of all, he might just have a lower libido than you do. And if the sex you're having when you have it is satisfying for both of you and is enjoyable and pleasurable, then that's a really good sign. You might want to talk to him about some issues, however, that could be lowering his libido, and so it makes it less personal. There's a lot that could be going on with him that make his libido lower that has nothing to do with you. He's choosing to be with you. He's choosing to have sex with you. He's in a relationship with you. He's probably quite into you, and we're sure you're a delightful, sexy human being. So it probably has nothing to do with you, dear listener. Here are some of the issues that can affect libido, male or female.
First of all, low libido can be because of health issues. And so if he has noticed a dramatic dip in his libido over time, perhaps it's valuable to go get a doctor to check his levels of hormones.
Obesity, diabetes, being on pharmaceuticals, including antidepressants, and for women, birth control. All of these things can really affect sex drive.
So those are practical physical things to look at and to figure out. Or there are emotional issues, like Chris was saying, about anxiety around erections. Does he have anxiety around erections that get in the way of not wanting to have sex because he's concerned about his performance? Or another issue that men are having more and more these days is porn-induced erectile dysfunction. These days, there are a lot of men who are having erection issues from watching a lot of porn while they're masturbating, and this is changing their chemistry. And often meaning that they're not able to have erections. We talk extensively about that in episode 35 of our podcast, if you want to check that out.
Men can also be hijacked by past bad experiences of sex. We talk to a lot of men who were ridiculed or made fun of or degraded during sex at one time in their past, and these ghosts continue to haunt them, and they get anxiety about their performance or don't think they're a good enough lover, and so they avoid having sex out of shame, fear, or anxiety that this issue is going to come up again. And so all of these emotional issues, even if your relationship is strong, his relationship to his own sexuality might have some baggage that's holding him back. And it's worth opening a conversation to ask him, you know, is there anything that's getting in the way of our sex life that I should know about? Is there anything going on that you want me to know more about? Because I'm your partner. I love you. I want to be in this relationship. I want to have a good sex life together. Can you share with me a little bit more about what's going on with you? And opening a safe container for him to be vulnerable enough to own some of these issues might create a huge leap forward for the two of you.
Right, because how you approach conversation is really important, because people can get so defensive, understandably so, and upset and shamed just in being asked if anything's wrong. So kind of how you approach the conversation is really important. And as Chris is saying, try and do it with as much love and heart and compassion as possible, and be in kind of an exploring kind of mode as opposed to an accusing or
right,
upset mode.
Totally. Instead of, hey, why aren't you having sex with me more often? What's wrong with you? Ask, is there anything you want me to know about? That's a much more open-ended question. Because men, too, are affected by things like sexual abuse. And very few people take the time to ask if that's an issue that's going on with him. So you need to be a strong and open and loving partner to create the conditions necessary for him to talk openly about what's going on with his sex drive, with his libido.
The only way that there could be issues that are personal is if there are resents or regrets in your relationship that have been unspoken about and could be some emotional baggage between the two of you. And that's something that you might want to look at. We have no idea what the specifics of your relationship are, but trying to kind of undo anything, any kind of toxic emotions between the two of you can certainly lead to more sex. More frequent and better sex happens when partners are feeling connected. So if he has things he's holding on to.
Right. And you guys are young, 23 and 21 or 22.
22, yeah.
And haven't been together that long. And so that's probably not the issue with you, but it's worth mentioning for people who are in relationship for 5, 10, 20, 30 years. Things can build up and create this emotional sticky residue that leads to the point where you don't even really want to be having sex with one another because you're just pissed off. You're disappointed in one another. You're disillusioned with your relationship. You haven't met your goals. And that kind of stuff really gets in the way of having a great sex life. And so that's what we're talking about. What are the conditions within a relationship that makes sex more likely to happen? And how do you create the relationship that enables a fabulous sex life and a happy partnership? And those are some of the things we explore in the course.
But also with that, most of us feel more of a sex drive when we're doing well in life. So if he is out of a job, if he is feeling like uninspired by everything he's doing, these are things that do lead to a decreased sex life. So also as a partner, are there any things that you can be doing to help support him living a life of passion? Are there things that he said he always wants to do that he's resisting doing? You know, are there ways to support him in furthering what he loves in life? Because that always creates more of a charge, more of an excitement. And when we feel good about ourselves, we're more interested in sex.
Beautiful. And so these are all things to check in on what's going on with him as an independent sexual being from you. Because remember, we really like to remind people that you are two independent sexual beings within a relationship. Now let's look at some of the patterns in your sex life that might be preventing more sex from happening. One of the things we talk about a lot is making sure that you have an agreement that every time you connect erotically, you'll check in about what you're both up for. All too often, it's assumed that every erotic connection is going to end in intercourse. And this puts a lot of pressure on women who are being penetrated, and we talk about that part of it a lot, but it also puts a lot of pressure on the men who then have to become erect and stay erect long enough to perform, quote unquote, sexually and please their female lovers. And a lot of guys have incredible anxiety about erections, and rather than face the failure and the disappointment of not maintaining an erection long enough, they avoid sex altogether to avoid that embarrassment. And so if you can instead create a wider range of sexual acts that please you both, really train him how to use his hands and mouth on you to pleasure you, that gives you a wider sexual repertoire. So even if he's not in the mood to fuck, maybe he's okay giving you sexual pleasure. If you have the higher libido, maybe he's all up for giving you lots more head and pleasuring you and doesn't really want more on his body. Creating a wider repertoire creates a lot more freedom and a lot more choice every time you are in the mood to say, what are you into? What am I into? Let's meet somewhere in the middle.
Absolutely. And another piece to look at is, I think as women, we are trained so much to think of our desirability being contingent on somebody else wanting us and displaying that and wanting to have sex with us. And I think it's also really important to separate that out and to feel desirable on your own because you know yourself to be beautiful and sexy, however this person is treating you and however anyone in the world is treating you. So it's important not to think that your desirability is dependent on his desire for you. Does that make sense? But then back to the piece around you wanting more sex of any sort. You can masturbate till the cows come home. That is a really weird phrase. Why do we use that phrase in culture? It's like...
till the chickens roost.
I don't know. It's a stupid phrase. Or I don't understand the phrase. But you can masturbate as much as you want. And you can use masturbation not just as a quick thing to get rid of your sexual tension, but as a laboratory to really explore extended pleasure and multiple orgasms. Like, it can be a whole beautiful relationship that you have with yourself that can be explored extensively. So it doesn't have to be a boring thing that you just sort of make do with.
Well, that's right. All too often people treat masturbation as a way just to blow off steam instead of a real realm of sexual exploration. And for couples who have a mismatch of desire, whether that's permanent, just because that's who you are, or temporary, because one of you is injured or sick or stressed out or any of these other things life throws at us, when one of you has a higher drive for sex, that is a great time to double down your commitment to masturbation. And that can be completely solo, done in private, or you can choose to share that with your lover. Masturbate in front of them, which is an incredibly intimate and emotionally vulnerable act. Or tell them about what you're fantasizing about. Fantasize about your lover, masturbate, get off, and then tell your lover about that fantasy, and maybe that pulls them into the storyline a little bit. You can use masturbation as something to not only meet your own sexual needs, but to erotically charge your relationship even more. And hopefully your partner will be willing to meet you there.
Right. This is not a common way to think about masturbation, but it has its role in a long-term relationship, and it's important to activate and take ownership and delight over.
Kind of an extreme example is I had a friend who was a very sexual person. She was one of these people who just loved sex, loved a lot of sex, was in a great sexual relationship. And she got injured and was in a full body cast for 4 months or something. And they were kind of going stir crazy because she really wanted to be having sex, but she couldn't medically, and she was all immobilized. And they used this time to just go so deep in erotic storytelling, and they would spin these wild tales, and she would talk dirty to him while he masturbated in front of her. And when she got out of the cast, she was talking to me, and she said that this was one of the most satisfying periods of their sex life because it forced them to get creative. It forced them to do new things. They revealed all these really intimate sides of themselves through the storytelling and fantasizing. And I think that's a really fun example of how, even if you're immobilized sexually totally, that doesn't mean your sexuality is gone. And so use the mismatch of your libido as an opportunity to get more creative and claim yourself as a sexual being. Part of the reason you called us is because you want confirmation about who you are as a sexual being and as a woman. And that, as Charlotte was saying, is not contingent on your partner's response or his levels of libido. That is about your relationship to yourself. And so this can be a great opportunity for you to discover and confirm who you are as an independent sexual being. And whether or not this particular relationship lasts, any work you do there will carry with you throughout life, and you'll have a better sex life if you do the work to know who you are instead of who you are in relationship to this one person.
So, in conclusion, there is nothing necessarily inherently wrong with him having a low libido and you having a higher libido, but the question is what to do about it in your relationship. We hope that you consider having a conversation with him about perhaps what might be contributing to his low libido, but also find out if he's comfortable with the amount of sex you guys are having. Is it a problem to him, or is it just that you have needs and you aren't being met? And with that, you need to determine if that's a deal breaker for you, or if you're adding in lots of like delicious, wonderful masturbation, if that can bridge the gap for you, or if your partner is willing to make changes and find a way for you guys to connect more.
And remember to check in about initiation and responsive desire. If you initiate more sex and take control, is he perfectly happy to have sex once it's started? Some people are just very hesitant to initiate sex out of fear of refusal or rejection. And that might be the issue right there. So we hope we've given you some tools to have really honest and heartful conversations together and get to the bottom of how you can have a satisfying sex life, even if there is a mismatch of your libidos, because that is super common. Almost all couples have some sort of libido mismatch, and it's really all about compromise and making sure your needs and wants are being met one way or the other. If you want some amazing tools to help you along on this journey, please check out our Foreplay Mastery course. It is going live as this podcast is published right today. It's fresh off the presses. And as a listener of Speaking of Sex, use the code SPEAKINGOFSEX for 20% off any of our online courses. They are all designed to help you become a better lover and have the amazing sex life you deserve. Come on over to pleasuremechanics.com and check them out. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We're the Pleasure Mechanics.
Wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.